Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
You're really savoring that. Welcome to another episode of Hypecast!
Hypecast!
The show where we get hyped about stuff and or things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am your other co-host, David Bell.
And there is no guest!
Yeah, there's no fucking guest, you guys.
So you know what? It's late on a Thursday night. Dave and I are both ragged.
Yeah, we honestly didn't even... like we looked for a guest a little bit, but we were pretty fucking worn out.
Yeah, it's been a ragged ass week, but yeah. A good week.
So. Yes, it's been a good week and a tiring week.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, how are you doing, Tom?
Oh, you know, I'm doing okay.
All right, that's cool.
Cool.
How was your day?
My day was good.
Okay, so yeah, so was mine.
How was your day?
Pretty good. We this wasn't today, but we finished a Guardian farm in Minecraft.
Uh-huh.
And Guardians are the worst creatures ever.
Mm-hmm.
They're very hard to kill, and they hurt you a lot, mm-hmm. and you can make a big net in the ocean. They're fish, and it sucks them all up into a tube. And they run through the tube, down through a chute, through lava that brings their health down just enough that then they fall into a chamber, and you can chop them with your sword and kill them. And you can get, like, I swear to God, Tom, like 20 levels from doing this of XP in like 5 minutes. It's unbelievable.
My eyes have glazed over so hard they turned to liquid and ran out of my sockets.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right. It's funny you should talk about eyes, because the Guardians use lasers out of their eyes
mm-hmm.
to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a that's a solid week.
So that's what's going on with me.
Yeah, that's what's going on with me.
I like being like, I was so busy this week. Also.
Yeah, also, this happened. Oh, also, now that we're on the topic of video games you like to play, Dave?
Yes, Tom?
You remember our terrorizing run in Borderlands last week?
Yes.
Guess what weapons they nerfed?
Oh, no.
Every single weapon I was using.
Those fuckers. Yeah, you had the weapon. Guys, everybody just shut up and listen to us talk right now. It doesn't matter if you don't care. The fucking, you had a gun that shot like fucking grenades everywhere.
The flacker.
The flacker, right.
Yeah, they nerfed the flacker.
I had the flacker. Oh, they nerfed my flacker.
They nerfed Hex.
Fuck that. I never got a Hex, so I don't care as much.
I was
much,
about
but...
to send you one. I had one I was going to clone. They nerfed Lydia, that sniper rifle we used to take down the Grave Warden. Yeah.
I'm mostly the flacker really fucks me up.
It's a devastating blow.
Yeah,
and the flacker and hive. I'm like, that's my entire game right there. Like, that's how I roll.
Yeah, that flacker
you
was something
bastards.
Else. And we still, like, when we did that fucking survival trial thing, it still didn't matter. We were still getting our asses kicked.
Yeah, but hive was keeping me, like, we won because I was able to stay alive with hive.
No, remember the one that we didn't win?
Yes, that's true. Yes.
The one that, like, we thought we were invincible, and the game was like, you're not invincible. How are we ever going to beat that with a nerfed flacker?
I don't know, man. We're going to have to revise our strategies.
This is fucked.
It's super fucked, you guys. It's hard times in the Borderlands right now. We have spent almost 5 minutes talking about this
fine. It's Hypecast. This is what we do. Should we talk
stuff
about
and, stuff wanna... and things? And I think Minecraft and Borderlands 3 fall under the category of stuff and things. We should absolutely get to the trailers.
Okay.
Yes.
Our first trailer is for Bombshell. This is the non-teaser trailer.
Don't appreciate the choice of music for this trailer.
Who is... I don't know about music.
It's Who Bad Guy. It's just... It's the wrong... It's... I think it sets the absolute wrong tone.
Well, it's what's his name, at least writing it.
Adam McKay co-wrote it, I think.
Yeah. He
unless a Jay Roach co-wrote The Big Short.
Right. They have this new style, which I get, which is like this like ironic, we're gonna talk about really fucked up things in a really
well, we're
like,
gonna do it in a cheeky
upbeat.
Way.
Cheeky way, yeah. And I liked The Big Short, but I haven't seen Vice, and I'm slowly getting this feeling that maybe I'm gonna get an overdose of that tone.
Yeah, Vice was okay, but man, I was like, toward the end of the movie, I was like, all right, like this is
yeah, this looks. I mean, it looks fine. Like I some great actresses in it.
Yeah.
And then you got John Lithgow.
John Lithgow in a solid
Roger
fat
Ailes.
Suit. Solid yeah. fat suit.
Oh, it looks great. And it's and you know, it's one of those things that it's probably not far off from the truth, or at least in the sense that like when they keep showing the Fox News clips, that you know they just used real moments
yeah.
that was on the show.
Oh, for sure.
And it's kind of a station, a network that's beyond parody at this point. But there's something about, and then W had this as well, where it doesn't look like it's even trying to be objective because of the tone.
Mm-hmm.
That it feels like they're laughing at, they're like, hey, Fox, we're doing this story.
Well, it,
they're really,
it opens,
like the tone yeah, really rubs it in your face.
Right. It starts off with Bad Guy by Billie Eilish. And the first thing you see is Kate McKinnon taking Margot Robbie through the newsroom and explaining to her what Fox News is, but doing it in a very jokey, snarky Daily Show type way. And it's like,
yeah,
okay, nobody at Fox News actually speaks like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think these news anchors are probably like, you know, they clearly stood up to harassment at this station, and that's a big deal. But they're not like liberals.
No, that's
they're not going to be ironically working at Fox News. Like, oh my God, I'm at Fox News.
It's also it's very hard to be. I mean, it's not okay. It's. I worry about how it's going to, I don't know. It's we said this on previous Hypecasts where it's like, this is an important, you know, these stories need to get heard. And it's important that these stories
right.
of systemic abuse and cover-ups and just the machinery of power get talked about. But it's like, could you have picked like Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson are objectively shitty people.
Right. And it's...
like with shitty beliefs that harm the world.
Right.
So
and
it's
just
like,
the tone.
I mean, yeah, it's just like,
it's only like liberals are going to watch and enjoy it mm-hmm. as like a satisfying
yeah.
cathartic thing. And anybody who needs to hear about the problems at Fox
is not going to watch it.
Yeah. Because it's going to look like liberal propaganda because of the tone. I think of the same thing with W, which is like, you know, he's like sort of kind of a war criminal and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So like a jokey, I'm going to do a Bush impression, like look at his life was like, this isn't helping. Like, I don't know, like movies don't have to change the world and they can just be entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing a subject like this, I'm just not sure what the point of this tone is. Again, The Big Short, I think, was a really the best version of this because it didn't really have a political slant. It
no,
wasn't
it
like
was...
a partisan thing, and it was about explaining something complicated
right.
in a way that was digestible.
Involving a cast of characters that we didn't already know.
Yes.
Like this, W is the worst offender. Vice was towing that line, and this one seems like a mix between the two, of where it's just like, this is just an SNL sketch to see who, like, well, who can we get to play this person?
Yeah. And that said, they all look like they're doing a great job.
They look like they're doing a great job. And it's an important story to tell, but this part of it just doesn't sit right with me just because of, I don't know. It's hard to articulate without sounding terrible, but it's like, they're kind of awful people, and it's hard to, I don't know.
It's just snarky. It's like a snarky look at something that maybe shouldn't have such a snarky look.
Right. Like, don't try.
Like it's cynical. It's in a world that we've accepted that Fox News is just a fun problem. Like, it's that. It's like, look at Fox News being terrible.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put fun music over this and sort of snarkily talk about how shitty it is. And I almost think it deserves a more serious tone.
It should be. It should be completely serious. Like, yeah. I think that's the only way to tell the story.
Right. And maybe it's more serious than it lets on. Like, again, The Big Short has a playful tone, but it's about something about people getting fucked.
Yeah.
And they don't look away from that. And when they show that side of it, they show it, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, again, there's almost a usefulness to the tone, which is that, like, the idea that these are people's lives that aren't being taken seriously by other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wolf of Wall Street, I think, is supposed to be that tone too. It's the, like, look at us, we're crazy having fun while we're victimizing people.
Right, that was another one where it was like, I mean,
it didn't quite work out.
Right, and it's not the same thing, but it was another aspect where I felt challenged by the movie, because it was like, hey, aren't you with these characters? I'm like, well, sometimes, but I mean, like, he's objectively the worst person in the universe. Like, what?
Right.
Like,
and it's one thing to do fucking, you know, you're trying to pull a Goodfellas with that tone.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the guy that Wolf of Wall Street is based off of is in the movie.
He is at the very end.
So it's like, okay, so are we endorsing this guy?
Yeah.
It's that. It has that feel to it. Like, I'm gonna see this one because it's definitely piqued my interest. But
I'm definitely
leaving like a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it feels too playful, and it should be. It should be stone faced serious. I feel.
Yeah.
It could just be a trailer.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be. I don't know. Maybe it'll be the movie that. Maybe it'll be the responsible version of this movie. Who can say?
Maybe it'll be what finally takes down Fox.
I mean, the actual scandal didn't take down Fox.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the other thing. It's like, we know not every detail, but like, this was a very public thing, like, within the last 2 years. I mean,
that's a thing we love to do now. Which
there are perspectives we don't know. Like, we don't know exactly what the day-to-day life was like for Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson. Right. And
but there is an instinct where, like the Snow. Remember there was a Snowden movie?
I sure do.
And it was, I never saw it because I was like, why would I see that?
Yeah, why would I see that?
I know what that is. The internet has created a situation where we can just watch the whole movie in real time.
Yeah.
In great quality. Yeah, it's fucking silly. I don't get it. It's making money, though. They're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
The reason being people, I don't know.
I also hope it's more of, like, it's like, that's the other thing that's like, The Big Short seemed more like this is, like you said, it was explaining a complicated thing, and it seemed more like, I don't want to say public service, but it seemed like it had more merit. And then Vice seemed more like agenda, I'm dunking on something.
Right. I think, okay.
And so does this to a degree, this feels like that, to a degree.
Yes. I think the border, I think the thing that makes the difference is how informative it is. Because, like,
for sure.
It's the same with documentaries, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. It's the same of like something like Blackfish, which I believe I brought up as an example a few times, where it's just like, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
And no one's thinking about it, mm-hmm. and no one's talking about it, and most of you don't even fucking know it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that and The Big Short was kind of like that, where it was like, it's after the fact, but it's like, here's what happened, and it's so fucked up, and we really need to do something about it. And so Bombshell could do that.
Yeah, for sure.
The problem I'm worried about is that the people who that would matter to aren't just aren't going to see the movie. It's just going to be preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that it just, like, if you're like a conservative, a Fox News viewer, you're going to see this trailer and immediately be like, I'm not seeing that. That's liberal propaganda.
Right, because it starts out with a character explaining why everyone who watches Fox News is a stupid asshole.
Right, and so the question is, what do you do about something like that? And I think you have to sneak it into another story or something like...
Or just like, don't try to dress it up with so many yucks. Just like kind of...
Yeah.
Just, you know,
it really doesn't help
tell the fucking story
part in the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's a great line. It's just like, pretend you're an Irish cop or something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to butcher the line.
Would it scare your grandmother or piss off your grandfather? Then it's a Fox News story. It's like, all right. Like,
yeah,
we know, but like, don't.
It paints a portrait that Fox News on the inside are painfully self-aware. And if that's true, that's fascinating.
I do not believe that's true.
I know that there's certain things Fox does. Like, there's...
Not when they have so many, like, just unabashed white supremacists.
I know, yes.
On the air. It's like, well, there's, I don't believe they're this self-aware.
I know there's a level of it. I remember there was a reporter who's been on a bunch of stations saying that Fox News had, like, the thickest makeup artists, and they talk to them and be like, yeah, we tend to get, like, blonde women, cover them with makeup that's very bright to attract specifically old men.
Yeah,
like it's just like we are aesthetically designing ourselves towards old men.
It was also Roger Ailes had a type,
right?
It's the same,
and he
it's
is a
yeah.
old man.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah,
it's virtually identical to the Weinstein stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know, something about that and like Sinclair Broadcasting and like actually going into this shit, like a movie like Spotlight is frankly what I'd rather see.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, with Mark Ruffalo. Let's get Mark Ruffalo every time. Or like The Report. What's his name?
Adam Driver. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that I would appreciate.
Yeah.
Something that old boomers would watch, you know? And then like tell their boomer friends to watch as well. And you get all them boomers.
Them boomer bucks.
Yeah.
Those are the best bucks.
We should move on to the next one.
We should probably, yes.
The Outsider.
I am super excited for this.
Me too.
This is, it's a limited series on HBO based on a pretty recent novel by Stephen King, which I haven't read, but now I'm deliberately not going to read because I want to go into this series stone cold.
Yes. It looks creepy. It looks weird.
Yeah. It's think if Stephen King wrote True Detective, and that's what this is.
Yeah. It's one of the things I'm excited about, which isn't something you'd think to be excited about, is the presence of Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Because I think Jason Bateman, just having watched The Gift, works best in thrillers.
He definitely works well in thrillers.
Yeah, he's kind of a volatile, like he seems to have like an anger behind him.
Yeah.
That comes out more in thrillers. It looks like it's, what is it, about a guy who like is wanted for murder, but they have him on video like 50 miles away or whatever.
Yeah,
his fingerprints are all over the scene.
He's a little league coach.
Yeah.
That gets arrested for the murder of a little boy, of an 11-year-old boy, because he's got fingerprints all over the crime scene, but they have video evidence of him 60 miles away at the time of the crime.
Right. So and, doppelganger? clones?
We'll see.
The what if Clive Owen's in it?
What if Clive Owen is in it?
Yeah.
The detective is Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah, Mendelsohn.
And he's working with a psychic investigator who I believe is the lady from Bad Times at the El Royale.
This is all good news. Yeah.
It's a good cast. It's also, yeah. It was created, adapted, and produced by Richard Price, who's the guy that created and wrote The Night Of, and he also worked on The Fucking Wire.
Ooh.
So he's done like two slam dunk HBO series.
This looks legit. HBO,
it looks really good. You guys.
I have this weird, because HBO is its owned by Time Warner and it's more big corporation shit.
Yeah.
But HBO is kind of my jam. Like it's my Disney. It's like what I just wish everything was.
Yeah, their stuff is more consistently good than any other.
Yeah, and they're like they're not trying to fucking take over the world. I don't know. It's yeah. I like them. I like what they're doing. I like that they have new shows like the Axios show.
Mm-hmm. The Watchmen show is supposed to be crazy fucking good.
Yeah, I'm excited
and
for that.
I just
started watching Succession. That shit is good.
Succession's supposed to be great. I got to start that.
Yep.
I was just about to say, we just had Damon Lindelof came into Collider today to do an extended series of interviews with our editor-in-chief about
how is he?
About Watchmen. He looks good.
He looked good? That's good. Tell him I say hi if you see him again.
He does not look like I expected him to look.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It just doesn't, you know, like you have an image of somebody in your mind and you see them in
real
life. Well,
his name
is
Damon.
Like, oh, that's not what I expected.
Yeah. I don't know what I would expect.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a cloud of mist.
Yeah. Just, you know, like a big, like a smoky cloud.
Yeah. I
just
can see that.
Just killing people on an island. That's what he looks like.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Outsider, you guys.
Outsider looks so good.
Most hyped about that of our trailers. We don't have many trailers. Our next one is one we already covered once, Marriage Story.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
This looks pretty good. This looks like a good movie.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited about Marriage Story.
Yeah,
Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yep, just being divorced and having a tough time at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it looks really human and grounded and they're gonna cry a bunch and maybe I think it's Netflix being like, let's try, you know, this is we're going for an Oscar.
It's written and directed by Noah Baumbach, which I mentioned the last time we talked about it. And he,
what'd that person do?
He did The Squid and the Whale.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
He also worked with Wes Anderson a few times.
Yeah.
I believe on The Life Aquatic was the first time they collaborated, I believe.
Yeah. It looks very well crafted.
Yeah.
It looks like really well shot. And I think, I think this is one of those fucking, this is one of those dramas that looks like it's kind of a bummer. It's like, it's just, key drama, which is,
it's like,
I don't know, kind of my jam.
It's like, I don't think it'll be full on Wes Anderson, but Noah Baumbach is kind of close in the way he makes things. So it's going to be like sad, but also funny.
Yeah. Sad and quirky. I liked some of they do the reveal that her mom still loves Adam Driver because who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Even when they're divorced,
I tell you,
and it looks like a movie made by someone who's been through a divorce
is
making their quirky version of it.
That's what the Squid and the Whale is about. Like the Squid and the Whale is more literally about what Noah Baumbach went through.
Right.
But yeah, this movie looks like, you know, another iteration of that. Also the end trailer reveal of Ray Liotta as his divorce attorney.
I was literally about to spring that up. The MVP of Ray Liotta as a divorce lawyer is kind of perfect.
It's
perfect. Like that is exactly what a divorce lawyer
should be. A divorce lawyer.
He really should be. He should. Ray Liotta should be a divorce lawyer. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine going
to
in to
court.
Get your divorce and it's Ray Liotta?
Yeah. And just your spouse takes you to court and you look over and you're like, is that fucking Ray Liotta?
Did he Ray Liotta? Is Ray Liotta representing him?
Yep. I also like the idea of Ray Liotta doing that and having no experience and having to be kicked out of court eventually.
Yeah.
And just being like, sorry, everyone, I thought this would fly.
Yeah, I thought I could bluff my way through it.
Can you imagine being near Ray Liotta?
No.
Like, Ray Liotta.
I imagine the vibrations just in the area around him would bring you to one knee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, oh, it my would God.
It would be very distracting.
It would be difficult to be in the same building with Ray Liotta.
Yes. Oh, my God. It'd be like people are knocking at you are like, Ray Liotta's in the building. We have to hide.
My window panes are rattling. Is Ray Liotta here?
Yeah. Yeah, he is an unnerving presence.
Oh, yeah.
What does he do? What does he do at this time?
I don't know.
Does he, like, have breakfast? Can you imagine Ray Liotta eating breakfast?
I can't imagine Ray Liotta doing anything but just suddenly appearing.
Yeah. In just, like, a rage cloud. More cloud work with these people. But, like, it just...
Ray Liotta has two settings. Rage and simmering rage.
Yeah, Rage Liotta is...
Rage Liotta.
Marriage Story.
Rage Alotta.
Rage Alotta. Ray Liotta.
So yeah, Marriage Story.
Weirdo. Yeah. So like I said, not that many trailers this week, which is why our final trailer is Peter Rabbit 2 The Runaway.
It was a surprise trailer drop today.
Was it?
Yeah, nobody knew this was coming.
Oh. Do people care?
I don't know. Honestly, look, I think Peter Rabbit, the original, did fairly well. Most kids' movies do pretty well.
Yes, because kids will see. It's just whatever's playing that weekend.
Right, because there's like there's one every 1 or 2 months. It's just mm-hmm. whatever there is to take your kids to see. So they usually do pretty decent business.
Yeah. So he's a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
My question, it sounds like you're not going to have any answers for me.
I have no insight. I had no idea Rose Byrne was in it as Beatrix
yes.
Potter. No fucking clue.
I'm glad
clue.
She's getting paid.
She's in everything. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's true.
She's in every goddamn movie.
That's true. The plot of this is that Peter Rabbit, mother gets married.
Yeah.
But it's like a human mother.
Yeah, Beatrix Potter gets married to a guy that he doesn't like.
Okay. How are they related?
I think she just keeps the rabbits and she wrote all of her stories based on them.
Okay, the rabbit is captive. It's a captive?
No, they just live there.
Okay, because there's this amount of possession because he's like mad that she's getting married mm-hmm. and then he runs away because he meets a cool rabbit.
He does meet cool rabbit and apparently his father rabbit was like a street gangster rabbit.
Yeah, and then they go on rabbit adventures.
Yeah.
My first observation is this trailer, it doesn't matter that he's a rabbit. The fact that he's a rabbit is incidental.
Yeah, nobody really notices that. They're just like, oh, you're Peter Rabbit. Like, he's like a famous person.
Right. So this could just be a movie starring a child.
Sure. Except he's an adult.
Yes.
Like, he has like,
which means
he has like
he didn't
an adult
really run
mind
away.
And like an adult sensibility.
Okay. So is it like real rabbits where like even adult ones, we still possess them and they can't run away from us?
Is
he a captive?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think
then
he just
what does
he
it
just
matter if he
there.
Runs away?
Well, because that's his home and that's where his friends and family are.
So he's like a celebrity rabbit that went missing. And
he's Nick Stahl.
Yeah. Is he Nick Stahl
he's
in this?
He's Nick Stahl in this.
Right. And are we sure it's the rabbit is the mother or the woman? The woman is they're not in a romantic thing.
No, she didn't fuck that rabbit. No,
okay.
She didn't fuck that rabbit. It's clear in the trailer because he's like the ring bearer, which is typically the child's position.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has his fantasy of drop kicking the guy into a field when the reverend says, and you found a new father for your kid. And he's like, what? Your new father? No, I don't like that. Like, so it's like their relationship
right.
is mother and son.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would argue, I think it's woman and pet rabbit.
I mean, you're trying to drag it screaming into some evil basement, but I don't.
I'm just confused about the world because then there's other talking rabbits.
Yeah.
So are all rabbits just talking rabbits in this? Was the first movie, granted, I didn't see the first movie.
Mm.
Was the first movie just dealing with the fact that rabbits are like this?
I don't know.
Or is it a special, just a group of rabbits? Do we have an origin?
It seems to be that talking rabbits are not weird in this movie. Because they also they also get their own train car.
Yeah. Yeah. They're their own, like, class of people. Or of rabbit.
I suppose.
But, I mean, I don't think that's for, like, that's not, like, a social thing. I think it's just that rabbits need tiny things.
Right, and, like, rabbits can't hold down jobs, so it's like, well.
Well, that's a question. Can they?
I mean, some jobs I imagine they could do, but, like.
I feel like these rabbits can have a job.
Like, a rabbit could be your mailman.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't make a rabbit a police officer. Like, don't give that rabbit a gun.
Why not, Tom?
Because you can't, like, guns are, like, it's like half his size. You don't give a rabbit a gun.
Yeah, what if you had little rabbit guns? I guess that would have little rabbit bullets.
He could hold a little derringer.
Yeah, that's a question. Do the rabbits police themselves? Because do they have their own standards of morality in the rabbit world that aren't the same as human morality?
Well, clearly, like, they don't believe in pants.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. So they're probably fucking on the streets. They don't care.
They believe in shirts, but not pants.
Yeah.
Shirts and jackets, okay. Pants, get the hell out of here.
Right. You wanna easy breeziness down there.
It's because they're rabbits. They gotta fuck.
I get it. Yeah, exactly.
Rabbits,
that's what they do.
A lot.
Yeah.
Pants just
are
get
they
in
protected?
The way.
Man, I'm sure hawks just swoop down and grab them all the time.
Oh, yeah. And he's screaming in English as the hawk is carrying him away.
Yeah, kids just have to deal with that
in
reality.
In clearly decipherable English. It just sounds like a man getting eaten by a shark.
Yep. Yeah, that's fucked up.
Boy, the countryside must suck in this universe.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I don't understand any of this.
I don't know. I don't think we're meant to.
Like on a spiritual level, like is it abstract?
No, I don't think it. I think it's pretty literal.
Okay.
I think it's literally these rabbits speak and wear tiny coats.
Okay. Well, I hope they have guns now because of the hawks.
Yeah, they need some defense against the hawks, man. At least
maybe that's what the shirts and coats are for.
At least give them a tiny stiletto.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Like a tiny switchblade.
Yeah. Gotta give them something. They're having a hard time. I don't know. Peter, this looks fine.
What if the hawks talk? That's a real problem.
Right. Well, is it a mutagen situation? Is it just rabbits were affected by something?
I don't know.
I should probably watch the first one to figure out.
Yeah, you're hitting me with these questions that I can't answer, man.
Mm-hmm.
All I can offer you is further speculation.
It's just questions upon questions. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. It looks fine.
I did notice one trailer you missed, but I didn't have a chance to add it.
Oh, no. What trailer?
There was a Terminator Red Band trailer today.
Oh, fuck.
Because Terminator is rated R.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can tell you that you should know from it is that the Terminator, the T-800, goes by Carl.
Carl?
Carl.
Wait, and he, like Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, Schwarzenegger goes by Carl.
And, he looks like a Carl.
And there's
Carl Schwarzenegger.
And there's a scene where Linda Hamilton's looking at him and she says, "I'm not fucking calling you Carl," in the trailer.
Okay, so
I'm kind of on board for this movie.
Yeah, I might be on board for Terminator
Dark Fate. Board for this movie.
Like, nothing before now, between now and Terminator 2, has been good, and I've been very disappointed.
Yeah.
And up until now, I haven't seen the appeal of a do-over. But
I'm confused about which Terminator this Terminator is supposed to be.
Yeah, here's my thoughts on Terminator, because every now and then I'll get a little excited. But they sold the rights at one point to Skydance. And I think it's finally gone back to James Cameron for this one. And so I think it might be pretty important that James Cameron is involved.
Maybe.
Because he's been involved in quotes in the past. He said they were going to be good in quotes in the past. But what I think what was stopping the previous Terminators is that they were run by someone who just fundamentally didn't understand Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this is technically going to be different than those, and why it's okay to have hope.
Yeah. Do you know what Terminator this is? They're ignoring 3 on, right?
Yep. And it was funny because someone on Twitter said something about how, like, I guess robots can age. Brent Spiner replied, like, yep.
I didn't have a problem with that.
Like, I know. It's just funny because it is that sort of thing where, like, Brent Spiner killed off Data. Specifically, it was his decision because he was like, oh, and also spoilers for Star Trek Nemesis. Because he was like, man, he's getting old and
there's a dip, and
the character has nowhere to go. And so, like, we for a while we were like, yeah, robots don't age. That's dumb.
Well, there's a difference between Data and the Terminator.
Oh, there. Yes.
And so Data is not covered in organic tissue. The Terminator is.
Yeah. Data explicitly doesn't age. The Terminator was never discussed.
Yeah. All they say is that he's covered in organic tissue, hair, teeth, bad breath, like.
Right. And it actually makes sense that he would age.
Yeah. Like,
it's weird.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm pretty sure the first time I heard it, I thought it was dumb. But the idea that they're creating these killing machines, shoving skin on them, and sending them out into the world, they're soldiers. So they probably didn't think about, like, where are they going to be in 50 years?
Mm-hmm. If it's truly organic tissue, it will age.
Right. That said, the Terminator we all know and love died.
Yeah. So I don't know what Terminator this is.
Right.
Or why she's so hell-bent on killing him in the trailer. Because, like, the last T-800 you encountered, like, fucking helped you out. Like, he was cool.
I think she's just Terminator racist.
That's true.
Which isn't... It's fair. That's fair. I really liked... The one thing I loved about Terminator 3 is the idea that in that one they say that the Terminator came back in time and he says, like, what do you guys come off a conveyor belt? And he says, exactly. And the idea that he was a Terminator that was captured and reprogrammed by the Resistance, and he was captured because he assassinated John Connor, and he was used, his older model was used, because they knew that John Connor would hesitate when he saw him.
Yes.
That was a cool excuse to get Arnold back. And it's sort of the biggest problem of this series in general, which is we have to get Arnold back. It makes less and less sense. How do we do it?
Yeah.
My guess is that Arnold's going to show up in the middle of the second act, maybe even nearing the third act. And he's going to accompany them for the third act. And it's going to be kind of a cameo.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like what Sean Connery was supposed to be in Spectre, and instead they just got a guy who looked like Sean Connery.
Albert Finney.
Yeah.
Talking about Skyfall.
Skyfall, my bad.
Yeah.
Skyfall.
Kind of got a guy. They got Albert Finney.
Yeah.
Isn't that Albert Finney in it?
I don't know. I just remember seeing him and immediately being like, oh, they couldn't get Sean Connery, I see.
Yeah, it was supposed to be him.
Yeah. But that's my suspicion, and I'm sure they've cooked up something. Because, again, we got a really good director and writer, but I think the Terminator franchise is fundamentally broken when it comes to sequels. Because it just isn't supposed to be. It's like making it's like making Titanic 2. It's like, no, there was never supposed to be a sequel. It was sort of designed to never have a sequel, after Terminator 2, that is. And we prefer the story with no sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that going against them, but I don't know, it looks good.
Yeah. I can't deny that I'm going to watch this goddamn movie.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to like it. I love Terminators, so.
Yeah, what's not to like about Terminators?
That is an important thing to note, is that I don't know about you, but I was a fan of Terminator as a kid. And every time there was a new Terminator, I was happy because I was like, I want nothing more than more Terminators.
This is turns like, out this course, is all I want with my life.
Yeah, of course I'll take more Terminators. Are you fucking... They're
one
like
one more Terminator,
movies.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah, they're like alien movies where it's like, it doesn't really matter. Just give me more. And then they keep fucking it up. And it's like, how are you making me not like Terminator movies?
Well, I differ from you there. I grew up like loving Terminator 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I was not on board with 3, and I have not been on board ever since. Like, when I learned of 3, I was like, fuck this. Terminator 2 ended perfectly.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the logical part of my brain knew that as well, but there was another part of my brain that was like, ah, fucking Terminators. When I saw them fucking Terminator fight in Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, I was like, fucking Terminators. This is great. I love it. But I understand how, yeah, it shouldn't exist. It's a broken franchise, but this looks great. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Speaking of broken franchises, you want to move on to the first news story?
I would love to move on to the first news story.
Neil Patrick Harris is joining Matrix 3.
He sure is.
He's going to be like a crazy program, right? Like a wacky...
Matrix 4, you mean?
Matrix 4? Mm-hmm. There was already Matrix 3. He's going to be like the Merovingian, right?
Probably. I mean, something like that, I assume.
I'm typecasting him in my mind because he does have range, but like if you got him for a Matrix movie, you'd want him to play some wacky program.
He could be a Cypher type as well.
Oh, he totally could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what to think of Matrix 4.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
I heard that Carrie-Ann Moss might be back, which that doesn't make sense.
Well, Keanu's back, which also doesn't make sense. I assume... Yeah,
Keanu makes more sense.
I assume what's going to happen is that Keanu and Carrie-Ann Moss are going to be like in the Matrix. Like they're going to exist inside the Matrix.
You're right. They're not going to have a body. Mm-hmm. Their souls will be in the Matrix.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what it's going to be. Here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I love Carrie-Ann Moss. It's great she's back. But logically, and it doesn't really matter, but logically speaking, Neo was killed and like taken away by the machines, whereas Trinity was impaled on rebar for some reason.
And left in like a spaceship.
Yes. That said, they do crash in the robot city. So they could have grabbed her body with their little spider robots and taken her away. So, you know what? I guess it's fine. I don't know what this could be. Is it just... they're going to want to do like this, the Agent Smith thing? Or is there going to be... Is Hugo Weaving coming back? You think we're going to get some Hugo?
Probably not.
You think it's going to be... It's too early to speculate, I guess, what this could be.
Yeah.
But it can't just be us fighting the machines again, right?
I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. That would seem like a cheat, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would bug me. Yeah. It would really bug me.
Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about the unnecessary Terminator sequel, so let's see.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of where we're at here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Matrix isn't precious to me, so it's like, yeah, fucking make 20.
No, yeah, not at all.
Let's flip around some more. It'll be cool.
Yeah, that first movie is pretty cool.
Yeah, and then they can get more goddamn video game tie-ins. And we can get some more awesome video
games. Those video games were pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. And those video games and the Animatrixes, if they say one thing, is that the Wachowskis... We're really good at like building a mythology out of something that really should have just been one movie. Like the Matrix should have been a single movie.
Yes.
But then when it expanded, they were able to keep my attention. Those other movies weren't that great, but the Animatrixes explored aspects that were like, this is a really cool idea. And the video games explored other characters and went in weird directions. Mm-hmm. So there was no shortage of ideas. They just might not have been great ideas.
Yeah, the Wachowskis are great at ideas and not necessarily great at execution, I think. But, you know.
Yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah. Whatever the case, there will definitely be Neil Patrick Harris in this.
Yes. He'll be all of it. Oh, man. Well, I'm ready to talk about whatever the hell the next story is, for sure.
Batman news?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Dano as the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman.
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz? Is that what I said?
Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, that's bad. What do you think, Tom?
I think Paul Dano is a good casting choice for the Riddler.
Yeah, I think it's both good casting.
They're both good casting. I had heard Lupita Nyong'o they were talking to her for Catwoman.
Oh, that would have been fucking amazing.
Which I would have preferred that, but Zoe Kravitz is fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
They had Jonah Hill passed yesterday on the Riddler role.
Penguin? Oh, it was Riddler?
It was Riddler, yeah.
All right, because it was weird.
I'm pretty sure anyway.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Dano is probably...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
He's a great choice. I really hope with the Robert Pattinson...
I'll tell you, every interview Robert Pattinson gives is incredible. So I'm just... Yeah. give him more movies.
I'm really excited about the casting. Who's making this?
Matt Reeves, right?
What has Matt Reeves done?
One of the new Planet of the Apes movies.
Ah, damn it. Damn it. All right. Those were the new Planet of the Apes. The two sequels were good. Someone tweeted about this as well. Is like, I think we don't have to do any more grounded Batman movies.
No,
right?
We don't need to.
We don't have to go Schumacher, but there's a third option, and it happens to be how we started the movies.
Yes.
Like, why not go more Tim Burton? Why not go more playfully gothic? And just stop trying to be like a realistic Batman, or I guess in fairness, Zack Snyder did not do that.
No, not really.
But he went too dark, or he went really dark. I just like, if you're going to have the Riddler in there, I don't know. I don't want to see Paul Dano growling it up as a Riddler with like a homemade ? Suit.
Yeah, I don't know. I would prefer something more like a gothic noir. Like if you do a noir, that would be great.
Yeah,
do a fucking black and white Batman movie.
Yeah,
blow my head clean off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I know I've been talking about the show Marianne. The director of Marianne and the person, I think he is the writer as well, has done a Batman short film, which I need to share with you, Tom. I think it's called Ashes to Ashes. It is dark, as you can imagine.
Sure.
It's very dark, and it's French, so it's a real weird one. But, yeah, I don't know. I get the black and white thing, mm-hmm. but I'm, like, starving for color for Batmans.
Yeah.
But I get like a noir Batman. I could see that being.
I think it'd be cool. Set it in the 40s.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that shit, are they? That would be fantastic.
I don't think so. But that would be awesome if they did.
Mm-hmm. Just something different.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. The Planet of the Apes were like... They're well written. Did you ever watch the sequels?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair. They're surprisingly good for what they were. But visually, they were just very like cookie cutter gritty.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping to not see that with this.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. So final news story. What I would argue is the biggest news story mm-hmm. of the year. The Craft remake has a new actor. David Duchovny has joined the Craft remake. Who do you think he's going to play?
I have no idea. I've never seen The Craft.
Oh my God, Tom.
We've talked about it on multiple movie nights.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think of, there's not many like adult male characters in it. He could play the main character's father.
Sure.
Or like a principal or something. Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to do a full, I assume they're going to change the shit out of the remake. I'm assuming the only thing that'll be the same is that it's about a group of goth girls who discover they have witch powers and then they turn on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe David Duchovny play, I don't know, a wizard. But there's not many like adult
he better
roles.
Be a wizard.
Yeah. There's not many adult roles, especially adult male roles in the craft. I hope they get Skeet Ulrich back.
Oh, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Tom, we got to watch The Craft soon.
I mean, let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it tomorrow. We're watching The Craft.
Sure. Let's watch The Craft and let's watch Doom Annihilation.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's today.
Today
when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
The Craft and Doom Annihilation. I am so excited for future me.
Tomorrow me is going to be just in hog heaven.
Yep. 100%. Oh, man. But yeah, fucking David Duchovny. I mean, more. Let's put David Duchovny in everything. Why isn't he in Terminator Dark Fate?
I don't know. Why isn't he the Terminator?
You know what he would be great in? A Peter Rabbit type. Like the Sonic movie. Like, I want to see David Duchovny act against a CGI character.
Wouldn't that be just a fucking mess? With that challenge.
Mm-hmm. I would be so happy. That's everything I want.
Mm-hmm.
Man. More David. Do a Beethoven sequel where he comes back to get revenge.
Yep, his hair is still all slicked back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, we're cooking with gas now.
Yeah, we are. Playing God 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's Timothy Hutton doing? Nothing.
I don't know. Nothing. No matter the case, we have David Duchovny in The Craft. The one other possibility casting is there's a part they meet like an older lady witch at the witch shop where they get their witch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So David Duchovny could maybe play like the owner of the shop, because I could see that. Like, you could really see David Duchovny owning a place that sells crystals.
Yes, he probably does.
Yeah. So we can hope. But yeah. So that's it for news stories.
Yeah. So do we have a movie that deserves more hype?
Are you okay?
Do you have one? Did you bring one?
Tom, I do.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I thought you might.
Yeah. This is called The Pool.
The Pool.
It was made, I should know what country it was made in. I think it was Thailand?
Yeah, it looked the writing looked Indonesian.
Okay. It came out like a year ago, and it's just been in like film festivals since then.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in Japan it had a DVD premiere this month. I'm still looking for it. So if anybody can point me to how to watch The Pool, please do. It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it doesn't have, it's loved by both critics and audiences, but it's got a small amount of people reviewing. It's funny because I think I might hate this movie, but I wanted it to bring it to everybody's attention because it is very similar to a movie that came out recently. This is about I believe a photographer who's on a commercial shoot and accidentally gets stuck in a pool when it drains, an abandoned pool.
Yep.
And so he's stuck in the pool. His dog is chained to a fence nearby and can't help him because it's a dog. And then a crocodile comes out of the drain.
It sure does.
And I think he's got a girlfriend who drowned and is like still alive.
Yeah, there's some other, there's some lady there. In there with him. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about a guy fighting to escape a pool that he can't get out of with a crocodile. And that's the movie. And based on the reviews, people are saying like this is the story of the world's unluckiest man, which makes me think that it's going to be like a lot of frustrating moments where it's man versus screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
But they also say that also his dog is named Lucky, which must be on purpose. Also, if you don't like seeing dogs get eaten, I'm pretty sure a dog gets eaten.
Yeah, that dog is probably toast.
Yeah, just from based on the reviews. But it just sounds like he has terrible luck. That's the movie. Also, according to the reviews, the movie is weirdly pro-life.
That's not a debate I thought would enter into this film.
Yes. And so I guess I'm not, this is no like The Lighthouse. It's not that kind of excitement. I'm having excitement for this because everybody's saying it's really weird, surprisingly fun, is not repetitive, and just as a guy versus a crocodile. You gonna see this?
Yeah.
Does this do it for you?
Yeah, this does it for me. I'm gonna watch the shit out of this.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody look out for the pool. Yeah. I can't tell you that it's a good movie. Just that a movie that we should, you know, all stop and look over at and say, what is that?
What's happening over there?
What's going on over there? One of you said it seems to have Pizza Hut tie-in. I don't know what that means.
Oh, are we going to get like little, are we going to get the pool hand puppets?
Mm.
That would be dope.
We can only hope. But yeah. Fucking The Pool, check it out. That's my movie that deserves more hype. I don't have much to say about it. It just looks it looks like the movie that it reminded me of was obviously Crawl, which I think could have used this type of simplicity. Like this is reminding me of like Open Water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's just I think what makes it frustrating is that it's a person in a pool and they can't get out. And when you're watching, you're probably going to think of a million ways that that person could get out of the pool if they weren't an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I say I personally might dislike this movie. But if that doesn't bother people as much, I bet you will enjoy this.
I'm going to be into it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to sit there, watch this movie, and yell at that guy why he didn't bring a ladder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why didn't he bring a ladder? Apparently, Open Water 2, I haven't seen that, but the plot is that it's scuba divers who jump off a boat and forget to put the ladder.
Yep.
So they're just outside their boat. That's fucking fantastic.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, what a great idea. That's so mean.
Yeah. it's just right there, but you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's the style of these movies, is sadistic.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot for it to work for me personally, but I think other people have a better tolerance for it. Mm-hmm. For example, I loved The Shallows.
Yeah. I thought The Shallows was pretty good.
I think that might have to do with execution, where I wasn't spending the whole movie thinking like, well, why didn't she do this or this or this? It's just like they do enough to make it so that it's like, okay, she's in a bathing suit. She can't call for help. It's a secluded beach. And this seems like the same thing, where it's like, okay, he's in a bathing suit, so no phone, pool, and it's all slippery. And there's people who've actually gotten trapped in pools. You look it up.
Oh, yeah, no, it happens.
It fucking happens.
Drained pool you can't get out of if it's deep enough. It's like,
yeah, it's like, it can be a real problem.
You gotta be fucking Spider-Man to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. And then you got a crocodile, which is apparently terrible CGI.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
So just another thing to look forward to.
Yeah, it's not Eraser level, hopefully. Although that would be entertaining.
I was about
for
to say,
reasons.
Do are we hoping it's not Eraser level?
I don't know. Will he say your luggage?
Your luggage.
Mm. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah. I think that's a sode.
Yeah, I think that's a...
I think we've done it.
That's a steamy sode.
It is. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Guys, thanks for
Thank you so much for listening. Dave, tell them what we got going on.
Guys, we got a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Mm. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Yep.
We have all sorts of tiers there you can check out. We watch movies. That's what we were talking about a second ago.
Yeah.
We watch movies with our patrons every Friday night, which is when. So, you know, tonight we'll be watching The Craft. So jump in, become a patron, jump in and watch The Craft with us.
You can join.
Don't you want to do that?
You can join right up. We're also going to watch Doom Annihilation.
Yeah. Aren't you excited for that?
I am.
You guys? I am.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out shirts and stickers and posters and all sorts of cool stuff. So do that.
Did you forget our brand for a second?
My entire brain disconnected for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very tired.
We are very tired.
We are very tired.
All right, let's go to bed.
Yeah, let's do that thing where we go to bed. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.